All right, so this morning I just want to finish off by concluding about the accurate connections. We've been talking about this topic here, to have accurate connections. And we've been talking in the context of the first time we talked about it, we talked about connections, accurate connection in regards, or especially in the context of our spiritual parents. Amen. So maybe I'll just get the points there to just the review again, just going to verbalize the 7 points there. And this is what we talked about. We said that number one, we had to know who our spiritual parents are. Number two, recognize that they are gifts, God's gifts, and appointed by God. Number three, recognize the gifting and the sphere of authority. Number four, we got to be trained and receive impartation. Five, we got to share the same assignment. Number six, we have to build, co-labor, we're going to move together. And number seven, we talked about got to walk in covenant. So then we continued on and began to say that we need to receive and receive from our spiritual leaders. And we also talked about how we need to move with the now prophetic word, what God is saying now, because in order for us to be connected together, there's something that's got to bring us together. It's got to be the word and the spirit of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So here today we're gathered because of Jesus, not because of anything else. And so this morning I want to continue on and talk about, it's again in the context of the church, but more so with some of the attitudes that we have that prevents us from being accurately connected. But as Pastor Joseph has said it this morning, and also in the prayer meetings, and has been repeated, and in fact has said it back in 2013. Just think, the next slide. There's a screenshot there. On our blog, you can find this. And in 2013, I think around September, it says that, I can't read this, very small, but it says that there will be a revival of, maybe you can try and zoom in, I'm not sure if you can, but there will be a revival of prayer and fasting. And here again, this word is coming back forth. It's been refreshed or being said again, and as a reminder that God, what He had spoken, He had already started it. But now it's going to be a time for us to rise in the Spirit and become prayer warriors and use our spirit language, because the spirit language that God has given us will enable us to operate with the same frequency of God and with what God is saying, so that we can be aligned together as the body of Christ. So we got to use the spirit language to tune ourselves and make sure we're in line with what God is saying, so that together as a body we can walk together. Because if we're not tuned to God's frequency, we'll be operating in different various frequency, and there will be colliding waves. And we don't want any colliding waves. We want waves that work together. We want to be connected with the wave that's coming from above. So I believe that it's essential for us to just take a note. This is just in passing, I say this, that that now is a time of prayer and fasting, a revival of prayer. So we declare this morning that the spirit language, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the spirit language that you have put in the inside of us, that we will use, we activate that right now in the name of Jesus, so that we'll be in tune and aligned with what God is saying from heaven, so that the church will be operating from the same wavelength that is coming from heaven. So in the name of Jesus, we declare that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it's going to be essential for us to be in tune in the Spirit, okay? Because a lot of stuff that we talk here today, if we can't forget that it's in the Spirit that we're united. Otherwise, if you take the unity of the Spirit, all the other stuff just becomes things that we can manufacture and try and achieve with our own flesh. But it's got to start in the Spirit. But here, I want to talk about certain attitudes that we need to cultivate, because we want to be accurately connected. Because God's eyes is going to and fro the earth, looking for those that are loyal and those that will volunteer, that will be willing in the day of His power. I mean, He's looking and preparing for a body of people, a church that will be ready to work together and execute the Father's decree and demonstrate the Spirit of God by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we got to be accurately connected. So I want to talk to you this morning. I've got 4 points that I want to mention. Is number one, is to be accurately connected, to be connected to in this local church, all right? We've got to choose or make a decision. We've got to choose to be connected. It's a choice that we make. We've got to choose to connect. Because we can choose to refuse. We can refuse to participate, even though we're here in this building. All right? Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." When he said that to be disciples, you know, he didn't give them certain conditions like this and that, and I'll give you a bit of allowance here and that. He just said, "You follow me and I will make you fishers of men." They had to either follow or not follow. All right, so here the opportunity or the thing is said, but the choice remains with us. Do we choose to follow or do we choose not to follow? But a lot of times what we do is we like to try to negotiate and make it comfortable for us, what works for us and what doesn't work for us. We have to come to a place where we've got to not make fine excuses, but we're going to make a decision. We choose to be connected. You know what, when we can be here on a Sunday morning service, but it doesn't necessarily, I'm not saying we're not, but I'm saying we are not necessarily connected. We can be hearing the same messages, but we may not necessarily be connecting with the word. We may be here physically, but we're not connected in the spirit. And as a result of that, you know, sometimes we think it's because we've attended church, we've gone to this meeting and that meeting, that we are connected. But that does not mean that. You know, the evidence of us knowing that we are connecting well with the local house is you will see it in the evidence of, we'll see it in us, right? We'll see it in the evidence of the members that are part of this local church. When you look at, I want to just use a couple of examples. When you start to see Elijah and Elisha, how do we know that Elisha connected with Elijah? Was when he received the double portion, and the same substance that was in Elijah was also in Elisha. So you can see the fruit. So what is in Elisha's? What was his assignment? What was the dimension that was given to him? The same dimension could be seen in Elisha, but double, stronger, right? So not because we're here. All right, what I'm trying to say is we should not get the idea just because we've attended church that we are accurately connected. Accurately connected, there will be an impartation that will begin to take place, and then these things will become evident in the life. Like the more you spend time with, you know, how we do things, you know, how we pray, how we worship, that becomes part of you, and you can see it in the people, right? Like when you spend time with when you spend time with people, you know how you catch certain things, right? The more you spend time doing something or with someone, a lot of times they say you look just like the person, all right? Or you look like your dad, maybe because we spend because we spend so much time with our parents. Obviously, we're gonna look like them, right? So something here when we are connected accurately and we receive the impartation, the same substance will be seen in you and in me. Alright, so I want to, you know, this is something we're going to ask ourselves, check ourselves. Am I flowing in with the same dimension? Do I choose to be connected? Daniel made this decision. He said, "I purpose in my heart not to defile myself." I determined, like he made a purpose to determine that he would not defile himself from the king's delicacies and from the wine of the king. He made a choice. So I want to say to you this morning, we got to check ourselves and say, do I want to be connected? Am I connected? And this is what we got to know in our hearts. First thing, because you would want to be connected if we know that this is your local house. If this is your local house, definitely you will want to be connected. If you know that this is your family, you definitely would want to be connected. Does that make sense, everybody? All right? So we got to ask ourselves, is this local house, is this church, am I catching on to the vision? Am I catching on to the mission? Am I catching on to with a heart of where this church is going? So we got to ask ourselves, because we've got to know that number one, it is God who sets. It's God who appoints, and it's God who composes the body of Christ. So if He has set and assigned and appointed all of these, then He has placed us here for a purpose. He has placed us here because there is a reason why we're here. But we've got to know, is it God that has appointed you in this local house? Then if we know that, then surely we will want to be connected. So choose to be connected, because we can make a lot of excuses. I want to read Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 24. I'm just going to read that really quickly. And this is how people know, this is what we should not be, okay? And then he said in verse 16, then he said to him, a certain, this is Jesus saying a parable here, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. 19, verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yokes of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. Can I be excused? Verse 20. Still another said, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Verse 22, and the servant said, Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. That's what I'm talking about this morning. A lot of times, invitations are made for us to be connected. But we can easily turn it around and say we've got this and this and that, and we have all kind of excuses that we can make. And sometimes we have legitimate reasons, and that's okay. But I'm talking about times where our attitudes are not hungry for the things of God. And we can easily take something that's not really a good reason, but can be a good reason, and make that big as if that's the reason why I can't come. And, you know, and so we amplify that just because we don't want to do something. Amen. But I'm declaring this morning that this company of people that are sitting here in this building right now, the Church Evangelical Christian Fellowship, will be volunteers in the day of God's power in the name of Jesus. Choose to be connected. Make a choice. No more excuses. No more excuses in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So say to your neighbor, no more excuses. Because we're living in a day and a time where we can't waste time anymore. So we gotta choose, make a decision. No more excuses. We don't have time anymore. The time is running out, and so the church needs to rise to maximum capacity. Amen. Number two, I want to talk about here. These are some attitudes we're talking about here. All right. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty? Do we choose to be connected? Is this your local house? Is this where God has planted you to be? And is that the place where God has put you so that we can grow together as the body of Christ and be edified, so that we can be ready for the work that God has appointed this local church? Number two, we've got to lay down our preferences. Lay down our preferences. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. It says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not have with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, when we come in the context of church, when we come to church, when we come to, you know, cell group, prayer meeting, whatever, these places, when we come together as the body of Christ, we've got to remember that Christ must be our centrality. But sometimes what we can do is we can promote, without realizing it, we can promote self with our preferences because of our culture, how we grew up, and what's our taste, and what we think. You know, we all have ideas of what church should look like. Everyone has some form, and these preconceived ideas are the very things that will and can stop us from going where God is going. Because sometimes, a lot of times, you know, it's good for a moment. Yes, God started something, but he's moved on to something greater. But we are still stuck in the same thing because we are stuck with ideas of that's what it should look like. But it's not. We've got to go further. We've got to go on. The church cannot be molded with the preferences of man. When Jesus said, I'm building my church, see, Peter received the revelation, right? That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But before, what was he asking? Who do men say that I am? Well, a lot of people had a lot of ideas. Some say you're Elijah, one of the prophets, you're Jeremiah. You know, you're one of those. But who do you say that I am? Then Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. God was the one who revealed that to him. And so then he says, and upon this rock, this revelation that you're receiving, I will build my church. Which simply means is that this has to do with the revelation that you're receiving from the Father about Christ. This is how the church has got to be built. And upon this revelation, it shall be built. And so that's what we have to see. We've got to cast aside our preferences, because some preferences may be good, but we've got to see whether they are biblical and whether this is where God is going. Just a moment, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm just going to verbalize something. Relevance is not modernization, but it's by being current with what God is saying now. Now, this kind of statement, what I'm trying to say is that sometimes what we think is that to be current and to be relevant as a church, we've got to do what everybody else is doing. And I'm saying that is not true. When I say it's not modernization, I'm not talking about speakers. I'm not talking about lights, and we need that. Otherwise, we'll be using candles. You want to use candles? You know, or you want to use a typewriter? You know, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking, we've got to upgrade, right? We upgrade our mobile phones, we upgrade, our clothes and everything. You know, we got to look fresh, look smart. But what I'm saying is it's not those things, because sometimes we just think that there are things that the world is doing. And if we are not doing the same thing that they're doing, and that means we're not current and we're not relevant to the people, to this generation. But that's not true, because this church will remain relevant as long as this church stays current with what God is saying. So the word of God, amen, do you agree with that? So that we can be sure that every time that the Word of God is coming to us in prophecy or in declaration, in words of inspiration, or someone's declaring the Word of the Lord, these word, as long as we connect with that and stay current with that, the church is relevant. And then the church is not running by preferences of man, but ruling and operating by the frequency of heaven. I'm going to use this to try to put this a bit practical, I guess, for us, or in reality, something that we can actually see and understand is, you know, we talk about God. God is a balanced God. Do you know what I'm saying? God, you know, we can easily take a doctrine and take one extreme and be on another extreme, all right? So we can say, for example, love. God is love, all right? But some people might say, well, God is too loving to ever send anyone to hell. But that's not true either. God is love, right? Yet the Lord says also he gets angry and he will, you know, and he will judge the world. And we can take another extreme and say God is that. God is judge and God is going to judge and everyone's going to die and no hope and gloom and all of that. So we can take either extreme, right? But what I'm saying here this morning is I want to use this term here, love versus discipline. So what I mean by lay aside our preferences, this is one thing. Sometimes we think church must be loving. Who agrees with that? Put your hand up. If you agree that the church must be loving. Church must be loving. I hope you see that it is, right? Is this a loving church? Does this church love you? You know, the pastors, do the members, do we love each other? I hope you say yes. If not, repent. But what I'm trying to say here, as much as there's this dimension of love, there's another side which is called discipline. But that's the part where we don't like. Because there are times where you show love, but there are times where you got to be serious. Do you agree with me? Not looking at some unhappy faces here. I think I've hit a bullseye there. Because sometimes all we like to hear is the nice stuff, the stuff that makes us feel good. But if something is not right, and let's say we address it nicely, but we address straight to the point. But we feel hurt because maybe you feel it wasn't too loving enough or too kind enough, or it wasn't said in a very soft way that made me feel like I was holding onto a pillar in a very comfortable chair. It doesn't make me feel like I'm on a cloud. And we've got to get out of this idea that that's what church is. Because I'm sure that you understand that at home, especially for parents. I was a child. I'm still my parents' children. But what I'm saying is, when I was younger, as a child, you know, my parents showed me love, right? And they still do, by the way, they do. They show me love, kindness, everything. They give me stuff, right? They feed me, they do all these things. And it's very nice, and I feel good, right? That's why you like mom to hug or kiss or whatnot. You love it. It's good. But there are times where when I mess up or do something silly, you know, what happens? What do you think happens? Discipline. And is that right? Is this right? Or should they still go and guess they'll go, why don't you have another sweet? Don't do it next time, baby. Don't. Okay. Because you understand that sometimes you've got to be serious and you've got to deal with the child because the child has to grow. Because if we always do this and that, oh, it's okay, just don't do it again. If you see this generation that are being raised like this by parents, they are so spoiled. And you see the conditions of whether in Christians or can be Christians or non-Christian families, these things can be seen. But we got to understand that so if you understood that, that means spiritually in the church, we don't want to be spoiled too, right? Because, you know, if we are spoiled spiritually, what's going to happen? We're going to be like the spoiled child at home, always trying to manipulate mommy to get what the child wants. And so let's be very careful that we take away our preferences or ideas of church, because there are certain times we've got to deal with stuff, but we just got to take it, right? Because it's the right thing to do. And discipline does not mean I don't like you, just do better. Discipline is because you love enough to say that this is wrong and you got to get it right, because you're not helping everybody, all right? You're not helping yourself, whoever it is. You're not helping your own self, and you're not helping other people either. So we got to get this right so we can all move on. Is that right? All right? So we need a good balance, all right? So don't ever expect anybody to never say anything. We've got to be able to take this. So lay aside our preferences. Number three, handle offenses. So what we're talking about, let me just make sure that we are on the line of what we're talking about. We're talking about being accurately connected. Is that right? Being accurately connected. We've got to choose to be connected. All right? We've got to lay aside our preferences. Number three, we've got to handle offenses. Luke chapter 17, verse 1, he says this. Then he said, this is Jesus, he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown in the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4, and if he sins against you seven times in a day, and then seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. The Bible says it is impossible. It is impossible that no offenses should come. But sometimes offenses we take is not because we've been offended, but sometimes we take other people's offenses. Or sometimes we misunderstand and we are offended for whatever reason. Okay? But if we want to be accurately connected, all right, offenses will come. In a family, there's always things to sort out. And this is a bigger family here we're talking about. This is the body of Christ. So, yeah, things will happen. Things do happen, right? But we've got to handle it. It's depending how, when these things happen, all right, we either respond to it or we react to it, okay? We got to have a good response to it, right? I'm just going to verbalize a few points here. Offenses will cause bitterness. And what happens is if we are either offended or if we are bitter in the inside or if we are not happy about something and something is constantly bothering and distracting you because of whatever, what will happen is when the Word of God comes to us, the condition of our hearts is not in a place for us to receive. And as a result, no connection, because we're not connecting with what God is saying and what God is doing. And you know, you can see like the parables in Matthew chapter 13 of the sower, you know, that goes and see the sower, the man that goes and sows seeds, and we have all these different kind of grounds. Do you remember that? It was shared a few by Dino and Grace, and they talked about the conditions of our hearts. But what will happen is if we're offended or we cause all these things to stay in, then what will happen? The word will be choked by the cares of this world. We are too concerned about being right. We're too concerned of our pride to say that we are wrong or anything like that. So we've got to guard our hearts. You know, offenses, if it's not dealt with, will cause people to pull back from the church. You know, if we don't deal with things, you know, slowly we try and stay away, and keep pulling out. And that's what the enemy wants. You know, the enemy is all after dividing the church. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. And you know, if he wants to take you out, he's not going to try and take you out right where all your friends and all your allies are right there with you. If he can take you out a little bit, you know, maybe you go for a toilet break, he's going to look for the opportunity to strike when you're all alone, when no one's there with you. You know, what I'm saying? Do you kind of, you know, like, you know, maybe you've watched some movies in the past. Can you understand what I'm talking about? You know, you strike, you have, the enemy has a strategy. Take you out, right? Take you out. So things like that, offenses will call us to retreat and cause us to come out from being connected to this local house, which is our protection. And you stay out long enough, the enemy, we become a prey for the enemy, because the enemy is a roaring lion looking to whom he may devour. So let's be careful, right? So if there is any offense, if there's anything in our hearts, anything that you feel is not right, well, then we have to handle it. We have to do something about it. Don't allow it to become grow until it becomes a big monster that cannot be controlled. And more bitterness, because if we allow that, I'm just going to, I'm not sure if I've got the scripture. But, you know, when we read in the gospel, it talks about, you know, you'll be tormented. So we don't want to come into that place, because offenses and bitterness will create a lot of speculations, wrong thoughts, wrong patterns, and it will keep you tormented long enough, and the enemy will take us out. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, let there be a release, a grace this morning, a grace to come upon our lives. When offenses come, we've got to deal with it. We've got to make it right in the name of Jesus. Amen. I just want to read the scripture, and this is what it says here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 17. All right, it's on the screen there. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more. And that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him to you be like a heathen and a tax collector. All right, three things here. If we want to handle with offenses, we want to do these. Well, what you see in bold is we want to keep it as that as much as we can, yeah? Number one, just handle it between yourselves. If not, bring two or three witnesses. Handle it with two or three witnesses. And if not, handle it with the church. Leaders, elders, pastors, ministers. But I pray that God will give us the maturity to just be able to handle it between ourselves. Amen? In Jesus' name, we just pray that right now. In the name of Jesus, release that grace right now. Even as you said, as the Son of Man, that they may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. I pray, let there be a grace for us. Let there be a power given unto your people this morning to forgive in the name of Jesus right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, the reason why I talk about this is because the reality of these things, it will happen. But if we're not, if we don't see that it is possible that it can happen, when it happens, we get so offended that we don't want to do anything about it. And because we have certain expectation. This is church. Something like this should never happen. No, it will happen. Brothers and sisters to fight all the time. Right? But it's being mature enough as to how to handle those things. Amen? Amen. The last one that I want to talk about this morning, to stay accurately connected, let me just review the 3 points I just mentioned. The first one is we choose to be connected. Number two, we talked about lay down our preferences. Church is Christ-centered. Centrality is Christ. It's balance. Handle number three, offenses. The last one I want to talk about here is I will explain this, what I mean by that, but pay the price. Pay the price. What do I mean by pay the price? Now, just say this first. We pay the price when we know something is worth and has value. Some people are willing to travel far to taste some good food. Are you one of them? Yeah, maybe. But if you know that something is really good, really, really good, and you know you will enjoy it, you will go that far to pay the price for it. Okay, maybe you feel like you're not one of them, but I'm one of them, you know. When I bought my guitar, you know, you can buy all sort of guitars you like, right? But when you know what wood it's made of, and you know that it was made in the USA, and you know that it sounds amazing, and you know that it looks just the way you like it, and even though it's like a little bit more expensive, you would want to get it anyway. And you'd be like, this is a chance I won't get again. Got to get it. All right? Now, for all of you who like to spend, I'm not talking about you. I mean, I'm talking about you should do that and just buy anything you like. But I'm just saying is if you love something and you know it's worth it and the value is in it, We would pay the price for it. We say, yeah, I will pay the price for it. When I talk about paying the price, and I'm talking about let's be connected accurately, you know, there are many, I mean, I can't say that for myself, or, you know, when we look at ourselves, for example, right, we talk about paying the price, but, you know, but we haven't had to, I know pastors have, but we haven't had to quit our jobs. We haven't had to leave our country to come to a foreign land or something like, be like Abraham who just left his house and God say, come out and I will show you land. And his faith was in God and he was looking whose city, whose maker was God. That was Abraham. And so some people have gone that far to pay the price to do what God has. But this morning when I talk about paying the price, I'm just talking about the small little things that we even that struggle to pay the price. You know, we're not talking about let's go and be a missionary in China or anything like that. We're talking about attitudes that we have that we can't die to self enough to even the small things to pay the price. Let me just say this. The church is precious in God's sight. The church is precious in God's sight. What does the local church or what does the body of Christ mean to you and me? Because if we know that it is precious in God's sight, then it will be precious to us. And if it's precious, then it's worth it. You know, one thing I've begun to see for my own self and through the few years that I've been in Evangel is that resources, when I mean resources, I mean I'm talking about like you know, like principles of church life, you know, new believers manual, teachings that we have. That's why I'm talking about resources, okay? Resources these days have become so easily available to us, especially in the first world. I'm talking about the first world. We can easily access it. Anything you want, YouTube, Google, You know, you wanna hear Bill Johnson speak? Go on, you know, Bethel website. You wanna hear this other preacher speak? Here, go on their website. Go on their YouTube channel. They have all their sermons all year, last year, everything. Sermon outlines. You can get anything you want if you really wanted to. It's that easy to just get resources now. Did you know that? Some of you looking at me is like, really? I can do that? It's called technology. And you know, because of that, because resources have become so easily accessible, we take it very lightly and take it for granted. I will show you, or I will try and explain to you how I've seen it for my own life. You know, when I first joined when I joined the church, Evangel Christian Fellowship, new Christian, right? We had this class at 5 a.m. in the morning. 5 a.m. in the morning, all right? 5 a.m., yeah, Friday morning. And we were going through some material, Bible, you know, going through the Bible, and we had some teachings from a Bible teacher. Now, at that point in time, technology started to come out. It was good. All of this started to come out slowly and slowly. But it's not quite like we saw it today. It wasn't as easy to get all these materials as much as how you can so easily, in an instant of a second, get the material. And as a result of that, because I come to a place of just very new to the church, I don't easily have access to all these materials. So for me, to miss that was a big deal because I don't know where to get it from. I don't have access to it. And this is if it's played here, I don't know, where else do I get it? Are you with me? Because now if I miss it, I'll say, well, I can just get it from YouTube. I can listen it, you know, some other time. But you see, when something is not that easily accessible, but you know it's worth it because you know you're going to get something that's going to change your life or that's going to, you know, make you strong in the Lord, and it's something that you hunger to be after God, then even if it's 5 a.m. in the morning, you still do it. I say this is really by the grace of God because prior to this 5 a.m., I never wake up. I had to get up by what, 4:15, 4:20. Quick enough to really wash my face, and eventually I started to take showers because pastor said it was a good thing, you don't want to look too sleepy. But it was quick enough, you got to really wake up. The moment you wake up, you got to wash, and then quickly you're out the door, drive, and you got to be at there 5 a.m. Right? And you see, I've never done anything like this before. I've never had to wake up that early, except for catching a plane, all right? You know, even I played tennis and I was very committed in that. You know, sometimes I'd wake up very early, but not ever quite as early as that. You know, for something. And then you still got your normal day. It's not like you're on holiday. You still have uni, you still have work afterwards, you still got a normal life. But what I'm trying to say is because I found that there was value in that, and I found that those resources were important for me, and I would be willing to change my lifestyle and say, well, got to get up at 5 a.m. because I had no intention of doing that long term, okay? But he became long term by the grace of God. Amen? 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 Amen. So what I'm trying to say here is that because we have resources so easily made available, we take it for granted, we take it for easy, and we don't ever show the importance of having to attend, you know? Like, for example, I'll give you another quick one, and I'll conclude with this. On Saturdays, we have parable classes, right? Now, you might say, you know, we might say to ourselves, oh, well, you know, I can get the book. Maybe Kevin Connor has done a lot of work on this. I can maybe grab Kevin Connor, and maybe someone else has done something, and I can just read the book, and I'll have all that I have. What we fail to realize, and that's what I'm saying, the attitude that we have towards it, okay? I'm talking about the attitude that we have towards these things, all right? Because we can go that way, and then we say, well, this is not important. I can substitute it by doing it on my own. You can. But what we fail to realize is the grace that is present when we are gathered together. Jesus is there, and the grace is there for the impartation to take place. And when we do that, we miss that. When you miss it, you missed it, all right? So when I talk about paying the price, I'm not asking you to leave home and catch the next plane to China and become a missionary and give up everything. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about even the small things that we're not willing for our own personal growth. Okay? Because if we want to be accurately connected, it's going to start like this. It's going to start like that. You're going to start to do that, start to be connected and say, hey, you know, it's not convenient for me, but I know that there's value in that because I believe that there's an appointment from God, and I believe that this is what God wants me to receive for this hour, for this moment, for us to go to the next level. Can I hear an amen for that? Amen. Amen. Conclusion. So we were talking really. I think I'm really trying to hit the attitude of our hearts, because if we have wrong attitudes, we won't be accurately connected, because we'll have all these different differences that we have, and all these different preferences that we have, all these different, you know, it's not ideal for me and it's not convenient for me, that we live in our own little world and put the church aside as if it's not important, but God, in the sight of God is so important, and we fail to see that, and hence we see loose connections, but we want accurate connections. How do we know that we are connected? It always comes with a test, right? It comes with an assignment. Until the opportunity arrives, then is how we respond to it. Like, we hear all of this, right? But then what would be the checkpoint for you and for me to know that really we are connected is when something happens or something takes place, you know, how then do we respond to that will show and reveal whether the commitment or whether the connection is actually there. Daniel, after he said, I purpose in my heart that I will not defile myself with the king's delicacies and the king's wine, he was what happened afterwards? He was tested throughout. Throughout Daniel, he went through so many things. You know, it was tested with the word, to eat, drink, and further. So many things he was tested. Daniel was always tested. So even as we make choice, even as you say this morning, I want to choose in my heart to be connected. I want to be part of this. I want to handle offenses. I want to, you know, I want to do all these things. I want to pay the price. I want to lay down my life. When it comes, it will be when the opportunity comes. When the door of opportunity comes, is how do we then respond to it? Let me finish with this list. Story is like this. You know, I was at home. I was a little kid. I was probably 5 or 5 years old or 4 years old, and because we have a two-story house, two-story house. You got to go upstairs and downstairs if you want to go to your bedroom. As a result, when you're a kid, you like to jump, you like to run, you like to be all the childish stuff. All the kids, aren't they? They're still here, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But my dad didn't want me to run on the stairs. And all the safety people say, because it's not safe. Right? So my dad would always tell me, don't run on the stairs. Don't run on the stairs. And would scold me and, you know, do all these things, right? So there's this one time he came back from work, and My sister kind of saw me off and say, you know what, my brother here, Ludwig, just ran off the stairs. And my dad come runs at me, did you run off the stairs? And I said, well, you know, me being a good boy, no, I'm kidding. I say, yeah, I ran the stairs. So he scolded me and said, he told you not to run on the stairs and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, and yeah, and told me that. So obviously you can imagine, child got scolded by your father and you feel, you know, this. And suddenly he told me, he said, so he just called me, right? Get the idea. He just called me and he said, don't run. Do you get it? All right? And I'm like, yeah, I won't run off the stairs. So when he was calling me at that time, we were, you know, at the beginning of the stairs, right? And then he said to me, hey, let's race upstairs. And what do you think I said? Really? So what I did was, and he's like, ready? Get set, go. Oh boy, I went like this. Sure, first take the first few steps. I was halfway through. Guess what happens next? Do you get the story? Okay, I don't know. But I think there's a lesson from that that we can learn. Because he told me then and then, don't run off the stairs. And right away, it wasn't like it was the next day he said, let's race. Right away he told me, let's have a race. Let's run. Let's see who's faster. And I was just like, Dad, you're the best dad in the world. I never thought you ever asked me something like this. I was like, oh, yeah, let's go. And I thought I was going to win, and bang. So what I'm trying to say here is that we will be tested in this. When the door of opportunity comes, it's how we respond to it. And how we respond to it is we will know whether in our hearts we've tuned our frequency, we are connected, and that's how we will respond. So when we know we responded, there will be one, no more excuses. Amen? No more excuses. Lay down our preferences. Amen? Handle offenses. Don't take it. Just deal with it. And we got to lay down our lives. Amen? So I want to activate those things right now in the name of Jesus because we want accurate connections. In the name of Jesus, we declare accurate connections right now. Lord, deal with our attitudes, the attitudes of our hearts, to be willing to let go of our preferences, to let go of our hurt, to let go of our pride, to let go of our limitation, to let go of our complacency. In the name of Jesus, let us rise this morning. Let God's people rise in this hour. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus, inspire our hearts to rise in unity, because there's so many things that God wants the church to come to. There's a next level. There's a new dimension. In the name of Jesus. And let the God's people be willing in the day of his power. In the name of Jesus, we call them forth right now in Jesus' name. Those that are sitting all across this room, in the name of Jesus, be willing in the day of God's power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
It's a timely message that we got to make a commitment to the Lord. Shall we sing this song, simple song, that we know I've decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. This year, 2017, is a year of great opportunity. Open doors are there before you. Many things are going to happen. What we did, many things that have not been revealed last year, this year, 2017, God is opening the door. He's just opened the door and giving an invitation. And all this preparation of connecting is for your destiny. Whether you want to choose it or not, you make a commitment to the head of the church, Jesus Christ, by singing this song, and I declare it, and then after that we will dismiss it.